Hello and welcome to episode 214 of the Rustical Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
oh, Helen Gould. Oh.
I don't know what we're doing.
I'm doing
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salah, Harun Altahan,
Cell Side Bottom.
Oh. And as
people are going weird. People are going weird.
It's because your first attempt at the intro, which I'm trying to force now to be in the edit by doing this.
Hello and welcome to.
And then you tripped over yourself.
Come on, everyone. We've got a dragon to fight.
Okay. It's the tension.
You got loads of hit points.
I've been fighting against a dragon for the last 200 episodes.
I've been fighting against myself for my entire life. A dragon's nothing.
Just yelling at the dragon, you can't say anything more hurtful than I have already said to myself.
Are you a sea god? Piss off, you wa.
So, we are on our way flying invisibly to the top of Big Ben to fight a dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that pretty much sums up the entire campaign in a lot of ways.
Yes. Well, actually, we're going to the top of Elizabeth Tower because Big Ben is the bell, not the building.
Is the top of the bell at the top of the tower?
Nearly. There's a point.
All right, well, if it's explicitly perched on top of Big Ben.
Didn't you know the amplification of the bell's magic is what will make it work?
In the way this tower is set up, the bell sits on top. They hadn't really worked out. How
just
bells
perched.
Work.
It doesn't ring, it's just there.
It's like one of those dinner bells that you ring.
Yeah,
there's just a bloke up there with a really big rope being like, it's 12 o'clock, everyone.
12 o'clock and nothing's well. Everything is fine.
Especially my back pain.
See, I'm going to go more Flintstones with it and just get the, like, it's a living, bong, bong.
It's just a T-Rex at the top. Sorry, I'll stop.
I mean, sort of, by which I mean an enormous golden dragon, which segues me in nicely.
Oh, yeah.
So, an enormous golden interlaced with blue dragon unfolds a wingspan like a 747 and turns its eyes towards presumably where a Skrark is. You can't see a Skrark, but presumably. And wherever that dragon seems to be looking, the head seems to turn, almost as if someone is veering heavily from a beeline to a skirting kind of direction. With that, that's Skrark's turn done. From now on, Bryn, all I will do is occasionally ask you for Skrark scores, but I will give you no context for what I'm asking for.
Oh, no. That's the worst thing.
He's invisible and he's flying. I can't let you know.
The good news is he does have evasion, so there is a chance that they'll take zero damage from dragon breath attacks.
They're a rogue.
Look,
it's handy.
Much like all of you, he'll either be fine or dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an egalitarian peril.
Speaking of, Azu, you're up. Technically, you and Topaz are up. And for obvious reasons, Ben, your movement will be Topaz's movement until such time as you dismount.
This is just leap off. But...
Okay. We're invisible, right?
Yep. Let's be specific to remind audience. You are invisible and buffed up to your eyeballs.
Yes.
Atop an iron celestial flying sapient camel.
Yes.
I believe that's it.
And also Zolf is there.
Zolf is there. And you have a backpack of Zolf who has a backpack of baggage. Sorry.
Yep. You got the baggage.
So
backpack.
Guive has turned their head, right?
Guive has not yet lifted herself from the tower. The wings are outstretched, but currently the head is just turning and following, presumably Skrark, skirting in an arc. You can see a long extended neck is turning to look.
Okay, then Azu is going to whisper to Zolf, when Guive takes off, we're going to go.
Yeah.
In which case then, anything else or should I bounce across to...
Well, here's a question. Is that a held action with the trigger of I go when Guive takes off, or are you going to wait another round?
I mean, from the sounds of it, it sounds like Guive is literally like on top of where we need to get to. So yes. Azu's like, yeah, so when Guive leaves that area and gives us a straight shot, and is distracted, we're gonna go.
Okay, cool. And yeah, to be clear, Guive is exactly where you need to be and is occupying it with a few ton of reptilian magical flesh.
Yeah.
In which case, because you inserted your action, Zolf, technically it's you.
I am going to hold my action and insert it when Topaz takes off.
Understood. Rather creepily, can I get a perception check from everyone?
Are you asking creepily or is the effect creepy?
The effect is creepy, but creepily, you could give me your perception rolls that I might see through your eyes and tell you what you must know.
I assume that we can stop including Skrark in group things for the time being.
You are correct. Functionally, Skrark is gone forever until such time as I decide to grant him back to you.
No!
I hate you.
25.
I've got a 20.
19.
28.
Okay, so for Azu and for Sel, as you're sort of readying to leap off, you see any of the blue-skinned, like, veined people who are down at the ground level all stop what they're doing and then turn and look at the exact same spot that Guive is looking at. Like, unprompted, they haven't heard anything, there hasn't been a noise, they all just turn as one. Zolf and Hamid notice that the non-veined individuals wandering around don't. They seem to start scattering themselves around the area and they seem to be looking elsewhere.
Okay, they're not part of the gestalt mind.
In which case then, Sel, you are up.
Sel is going to hold their action until Topaz takes off. And then they have a plan to jump in the other direction as a distraction.
At which point then, Guive does the following. The first thing that Guive does is take a deep, deep, deep breath in.
Oh, no.
Can I get a reflex save from everyone, please?
Oh. Everyone? Oh, no.
Oh, including Skrark.
All right.
Oh.
Remember, you're getting plus one from haste.
Yeah, but my reflex is really bad still.
21.
29.
That's a 15 for me. And a 20 for Topaz.
Helen, just checking, was that factoring in the plus one Topaz gets from Shield Other?
It's a 21 for Topaz.
it's fine either way. The DC for all of you is quite low. I'm asking mostly for Skrark with an additional factor for the rest of you. Yeah.
21 and 25. 25 for Skrark.
Ooh, good. Okay, so what proceeds to happen is a deep, deep breath, and all of you have the same idea at the same moment going, this is going to be really bright, and make a point of turning your eyes away as purest white light just shines out from the top of the bell tower. It is hot from where you are.
Oh.
And it is just like shining out everywhere. That is followed by a sort of shockwave of hot air that rolls through all of you. No one loses their footing or anything. As Guive breathes fire in a massive 60-foot, just, it's more like a blowtorch than like...
It's a cone, technically, isn't it?
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is, you know, the sort of, the movie fire is always a gasoline fire, it's really smoky. This isn't. This is more like a, it's like an acetylene torch.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it would melt anything that's in front of it kind of thing.
Yep.
And it is not pointed anywhere near you, to be clear. It's pointed in a completely different direction, away from the Houses of Parliament. And sort of out over the city. For the sake of flavour, I'm going to say one of the rooftops is just stripped bare as pieces just fly away from the sheer force of it. At which point, Guive then leaps from the tower and seems to propel herself towards where she breathes flames. Interestingly, it's a very, very big creature. And although it looks like it's flying very, very quickly, it looks like it's not particularly elegant with flight. That kind of weight throwing itself around isn't particularly nimble. This is more a massive, massive weight throwing itself and propelling itself through the air by force rather than like through finesse. And that's, I'd say truthfully, that's honest to everyone.
Your metaphor of the Boeing 747 is pretty apt then.
Yeah, honestly, it's like you don't turn one of those quickly is what I'm getting at. At which point I now have a bunch of actions to go off.
Yes.
Technically, I'm going to go from the front of the initiative order to the back because everyone was holding. So with that in mind, Azu, your thing. You said you wanted to wait till Guive has moved. I'm going to, for the sake of simplicity, say that your readied action goes off, meaning that you're still in the same place in initiative order, but you're now using that move. Okay?
Okay.
So it was just that you wanted to start towards the tower if Guive left, right?
Yes, I was going to leap into the air.
You leap into the air and begin your movement. What's the fly speed of Topaz?
Topaz has a fly speed of 80.
A mere 80.
Just
a mere 80.
A mere 160 if you double move, yeah. Okay, cool. In which case then, Zolf, your thing has now gone off. You said you wanted to insert, not a readied action, so you are now inserting your action, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's not do anything. but it's just I'm making sure I'm still acting directly after Topaz.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I know what I'm doing there. At which point, then, you start hearing a commotion from within the actual houses themselves. It isn't a specific noise so much as, like, imagine someone ransacking a building or every room in a building simultaneously, and it's a big building. So it's less like there's a massive 400-foot thing ploughing its way through than lots of activity where before there wasn't any.
My head immediately inserted the sound of a piano falling for some reason.
Someone just starts throwing xylophones everywhere. We don't know what. No, not that. Not that. I don't want to do that to my editor. They might do that as a joke. And I'm like, that's a lot of work. Don't do that. It's okay. Sell, you're up, because the other stuff was kind of flavour. It wasn't a thing.
Sure. Sel is flying at a speed of 30 feet, but they're double moving. So a pathetic 60 foot.
Dude, I think your base fly speed is 30. It will also have been increased by haste. So your fly speed should now be 60.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, 60. So 120.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sel is going to be... So if you think of... From the Abbey to Elizabeth Tower as a straight line, presuming that now Skrark has gone off at, let's say, the equivalent of about a 45-degree angle because he's swerved
off.
Yeah,
that's about right.
And Topaz et al. Are doing the straight flight.
Yeah, I should have specified that we are going to double move. Like, we are doing both of those.
Sel is going to head off in the angle in between. So I had originally thought that they would go off in the opposite angle, but actually, basically, if Guive turns their head, they see Sel first as a distraction before they turn round the whole way.
You're running interference.
Yeah.
Aww. I get you. In which case, then, Hamid, so you're now up. There's been a weird shuffle in the initiative order, but I have kept track of it all. You're now up, Hamid.
Hamid is going to fly as well. Hamid's fly speed is currently 90.
Woo! Our fly speed is 90.
So I go a bit faster. I'm also not going to take the straightest possible route towards the tower. I'm actually going to veer off in a different direction slightly to head over the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a completely different angle again. And if Grieve decides to turn around, I'm going to make a real nuisance of myself at the big plant. And I mean a real nuisance of myself, Alex.
I totally get you. I see where you're going with that. I'm picking up what you're putting down, and I'm hoping it continues to explode.
My rough estimate of distances from the top of Westminster Abbey to, like, the far side of the Houses of Parliament from where Big Ben is, I reckon I can get more or less over the far end in one double move of 180 foot, but I don't know the exact distances.
So I have Google Maps. Oh, okay, that's completely wrong. I've got Google Maps in front of me. Okay, cool. For flavour, it's built different.
Really? Am I just completely wrong about distances here?
Just it's more like a triangle.
All right.
But I think in this world it's just
no
built
no.
Different.
It sounds like what Lydia's saying is that your ideas are bad, Bryn.
No, bad ideas. I got so happy about, like, doing the measurement with
you
the
know,
thing.
No, no, you know
don't
what I'm going to do.
Don't let me kill everyone.
No. I'm now bringing up the satellite view because I wasn't aware you could measure distances with it, and how often do I get the chance to use satellite imagery to assist my imaginary game?
Our podcast is augmented.
So I'm gonna come back in now and go. I'm not sure about your mass there, Bryn. Sounds a little sketchy. I think you might fall a bit short.
I completely independently came up with this conclusion.
I completely independently have decided that I now have an exact satellite measurement that I can use for this encounter.
You should have just taken the Google Maps and made it the battle map.
Yeah, you can just put a dragon on Big Ben and we can.
Drop a pin.
Are we updating the total distance of the straight line to what, 650, 670, would you say?
No. We're going to say that there was a weird spatial glitch which keeps it at 500 to make the maths easy.
Okay. Well, I mean, assuming a standard Pythagorean theorem right-angled triangle...
Oh, for God's
then
sake.
Then if the direct hypotenuse route is 500 foot, then I'm going to take the 300 foot bottom so that it puts me 400 foot away from Big Ben, but obviously I'm not going to move all that in one turn.
Of course you're not. Of
he's
course,
cracked
not.
But that... out the mass language to fight back.
I don't know how he's done this.
Wild just flies towards the tower. That's what Wild does. He just goes towards the tower in a straight line. At which point, then, Skrark's turn.
One would imagine, run away.
Mystery, yes. Mystery, who knows?
No!
Azu, you're up. You have moved 120, was it?
160 feet.
160. Are you going to move another 160?
Yes.
So it's taking you to 320. You're well on the way there. You are zipping through the sky at that point.
Yay!
In three moves.
And as you're doing so, you see there's a large amount of activity starting at the windows of the Houses of Parliament, the bits that you can see. It's mostly consumed, but there are a few exposed windows, and it looks like they're getting smashed outwards by stuff, but you can't tell what at this kind of speed and this much going on.
I'm going to ignore that.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Zolf, you are up, because you're paired to Azu's currently.
Yeah, I am not doing anything.
Okay, cool. At which point, then, the stuff coming out the windows, you start seeing what look to be some of those. You remember the what we used to call the clickers in other London and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be crawling themselves out through the windows and also, like, semi through the stone. And a lot of them seem to be pulling themselves out of the windows. However, I'd say Zolf and Azu, give me a perception check.
Okay.
I'm aware Hamid's closer, I'll get to that in a bit.
20.
That's another 20 for me as well.
Both of you seem to think that they're heading towards where you get the impression Skrark was and or is,
cool,
as opposed to climbing the tower or anything like that.
Grand.
At which point then, Guive shoots out further in the direction that Guive was flying, but seems to be having a really hard time when it comes to direction. I'm fluffing this up for flavour a little bit, because technically I could just trace a bunch of straight lines, but, you know, theatre of the mind here. You get the impression that Skrark's probably still moving around, given that the head's still going, and is using a lot of manoeuvrability in a way that's making life really difficult for Guive. Lots of sharp turns, sudden drops, climbs. The head is all over the place, and it's really struggling to sustain that kind of nimbleness.
That 22 fly skill coming into play.
Yay!
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, for anybody who's big worried, remember, Skrark got a 25 on their DC, so that either means they took no damage, or if they failed, they still took half damage, I think, because they got greater evasion, right?
And if it's fire, you still
It is fire, and I really doubt Greave does 240 points of damage, even being a dragon, because that is absurd. So, probably still has temporary hit points up. So
that's one of the reasons that I get nervous, because I don't actually know what is or is not reasonable damage.
I'm doing a big guess, because obviously dragons at this point are a little bit into, like, hey, they can kind of do what they want.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some wonderful entries, not just in Pathfinder, in a lot of D&D games as well, where it's just like, dragons are meant to be special. If you don't think this is special enough, just give them a bunch more extra stuff. Make them more special. Cell, you are up. Currently, Guive appears to have used the entire turn just to do movement in a series of seemingly random directions, drawing away.
Cell's just going to keep moving. Like, they're going to keep going in a straight line, because even if they are pursuing an angle that is halfway between the straight line to Big Ben and the straight line towards where Skrark was, then eventually they're going to overshoot Big Ben. But that is fine. They're not going to quite get there yet this turn, I don't think.
Yeah, that's fine.
So they're keeping on going, yep.
Hamid, you are up.
Okay, so I reckon, by my maths, a second move of 180 feet can take me to more or less over the south end of the Houses of Parliament.
That seems more reasonable to me.
Yeah, and I'm going to use the, if we're calling it 300 in that direction, I'm going to use the final little bit of move left over from to gain more height. So I'm going to be, you know, maybe 30 foot above the top of the Houses of Parliament on the south end. So I'm still sort of 400 foot-ish from Big Ben, but over the Houses of Parliament, reasonably high.
So you are now well over the plant that's occupying most of the Houses of Parliament. So the actual structure of the Houses of Parliament is pretty much entirely subsumed. The plant itself is higher than the Houses of Parliament.
Oh.
So that height is still, it's serving you well, basically. But you're at the point where you can see there is a deep pulsing blue glow coming from within the plant, because you're sort of looking down almost through the closed bud, and you can see that there is a deep throbbing blue glow that seems to be accelerating in its pulsing.
Okay.
Additionally, you can see there are a few non-blue veined people sort of wandering around upon the roof, the bits of exposed rooftop that there are. They seem very, very confident, given that they're very high and just wandering around on rooftops. You also see there are a couple of those rooted creatures that seem to be still more patrolling rather than climbing. It genuinely looks like nothing's currently moving towards the tower and everything is currently focusing more on the plan.
Great. Okay.
Wild continues to do what Wild does, which is my business. Thank you very much. they do what they do. Okay, at which point...
So bear in mind as well, Alex, that just Wild's fly speed right now will be 90 foot because it's the fly spell plus haste that's giving them that.
Yeah. So that there should be realistically within the next turn or so, Wild's there.
Yeah, so Wild will be slightly faster than Topaz.
Yeah, that's fine. But Wild's not there yet. At which point then, can I get one more perception check from everyone? But if you don't roll high, you're getting nothing. It's not one of those ones where I'll limit information.
19.
14.
19.
23.
Nah, nothing high enough.
Yeah, it's a bad set of rolls.
Yeah.
Azu, your movement, I'm assuming you're still going in a straight line?
Absolutely. I've been given a task. I shall accomplish it.
In which case, you're at what, 360?
480 total after three.
Yes, I'm almost there.
Oh, I'll tell you what then, you know what you can do? I'm going to allow you to be on the battle map because there's a little bit of space around the clock tower. You have earned yourself the right, nay, the honour, nay, the privilege of being on a battle map.
Okay.
And I am going to say, for the sake of ease, that you are coming in from the bottom left corner, so
okay,
which is about 20 feet off the clock tower currently.
And me.
No. Somehow you lost Zolf on the way.
I'll fall down.
No!
I'm just floating in the middle of the thing, unable to propel myself, being like, because I'm not going down because I've got levitation boots, but I can't do anything with it.
Just throwing random pieces of equipment in the wrong direction for the motion.
Do you think
motion?
I can throw Babbage and not break him?
You'd have to rely on Azu's reflexes to catch him, which... Yeah.
Okay, technically then Wild is going to be in the map as well and be about there, I'd say.
Okay.
Next round, obviously. Okay, cool. In which case then, Zolf, are you doing anything other than be flown currently?
I am doing a perception check because I want to get the lay of the land. I want to make a plan because, so for your benefit, I've got stone shape. So my initial idea is to block any access to this roof. Mm-hmm. I know they can climb, but it'll stop us from being like overwhelmed, like things running out of door upstairs. I see on the map there is some stone steps, but I know this is maybe not perfectly accurate to what you want to do, but I don't know.
Honestly, I'm using this map as the rule.
Cool.
Give me the perception roll first and then I'll give you some description.
That is a 20.
Oh, nice. Okay, so it is heavily balustraded on all four corners. There's lots of overlap and so on. Mm-hmm. I'm saying for the sake of my ease, I am aware that the reality of the clock tower in the UK is a very, very steeply angled sort of rooftop thing. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a lot flatter for my purposes.
They remodeled.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tesla blew the roof off it.
So as a result... The ground itself is sloped because it is sort of roofing tiles, mm-hmm. but it is still traversable. Yep. And in the middle, there's a large sort of glass-roofed element to it. Think sort of Victorian wrought iron, you know, with the sort of paned glass style that like you get in old stations, things like that.
Yep.
So you can look down into the innards of it where there is an elaborate mechanism held within the centre of the tower, but you can navigate around it on all sides. There is a big stone staircase that leads up towards the sort of rooftop itself. Yep. Which has a door that appears to have been either kicked in or wedged open or whatever. So it looks like you could go down into the clock tower proper. Mm-hmm. And there is a fairly sizable platform in the middle of the glass up at the top, which looks like a solid place to, you know, set down for the apparatus.
Yeah.
In terms of defenses around the place, there's a significant amount of plant matter kicking around, but you're not seeing any watcher plants like you had in Svalbard.
Good.
And any guardians that we were talking about, you know, those root creature things, yep. are not currently at this level. They're lower down and sort of navigating around.
So, important question that I'm trying to infer, because I know I'm on the other side of the clock tower, but how deep is the staircase? Is it like, as it looks from the map, it's 15 foot wide, but at the point where it goes underneath the roof?
It's 15 foot deep with a double door where one of the doors is closed and the other one
there's
is...
A door. How big is the doorway?
So the doorway is a standard double doorway, 10 foot by 10 foot.
Yes. Because that is the amount that I can cover with a wall of stone.
Nice.
Yeah, okay, so all what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Babbage's headphones and put them so that I've got one ear on and one ear off.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And I'll be like...
Proper cool guy headphoning there, by the way.
Yes, I'm excellent.
Like, I'm podcasting. Well, everybody, this is Ulf Smith. We're at the top of Elizabeth Tower. We're going to save the world. Let's see how it goes. and I'm going to say to Azu, drop me off next to the staircase so I can block it up.
Will do.
And then to Babbage... because I've got my 6 seconds. Right, we're getting in the way of getting to Elizabeth Tower. Where's the best place to put you on the roof? Like, right at the top?
Yep.
Good, and that's probably my turn. That's my stuff.
Yep. In which case, then, anyone who can see the sides of the tower can see that the sort of root creatures are pouring out from the exposed windows and pulling themselves out from amongst the plant matter and are seemingly swarming, although the vast majority seem to be heading in the same direction of Guive. A decent amount seem to be in a more... holding pattern, let's say. A few of them seem to be working their way up now, starting to work their way towards the tower, but they do not appear to be beelining. But this really is, from your perspective, like a disturbed anthill.
Okay.
Guive takes another deep breath and seems to be aiming at a building. So I don't mean in the sky, I mean at a building a little bit further on.
Okay.
Breathes in, breathes out. And again, can I get a reflex save from everyone, including Skrark?
25.
That is a 23 for me and a 21 for Topaz.
28 for Skrark?
Yes, Bryn. Yes.
But only 16 for Hamid.
No, Bryn.
16 for Sel.
Oh.
Okay, cool. So for everyone who's in the air, because I've set this DC very, very low, again, you do get a moment of, and cover your eyes just before there's any kind of blinding effect. However, the building that Guive was aiming at is wiped from the face of the earth. We're talking fully glassed. All of it, a whole lot from top to bottom. I am now going to roll a lot of dice, so bear with me.
Oh, God.
I mean, He could be only getting half, and he's got 120 hit points.
So, with the building just completely obliterated, Guive still seems interested in the obliterated building rather than anywhere else.
That's a good sign, right?
Yeah. That's a really good sign.
It's like we've been like, job well done.
Skrark, be okay!
And on that possibly good note, I'll take a break there.
Hello, listener. It's Helen here, and I'm going to tell you about a new show on the RQ Network called The Town Whispers. This folk horror podcast excels in atmospheric, dark storytelling as it explores the hidden tales of a foggy town called The Fort. As the story goes on, it begins to uncover the sinister workings of a mysterious group of entities called the Long Shadows, who seem to hold sway over the town. Tune in each week to find out what becomes of the people living in the fort and the terrifying plans that have been in motion since the first town boundaries were drawn. If you're a fan of horror movies like Midsommar and The Witch, you should search for The Town Whispers wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.rustyquill.com for more information. Happy listening.
And welcome back. Sel, you're up. You just saw a dragon eliminate another chunk of prime real estate.
Sel's gonna keep moving towards the tower, aiming to come in, on the corner that is closer to Guive, and I suppose going to help folks with the Theatre of the Mind. If you've got the long rectangle that is the House of Parliament with the tower on the end, Sel is at the furthest end, slightly further forward. Zolf, Azu, and Topaz are coming in the middle. We're at the lower corner of the tower, and Hamid's off at the bottom of the House of the Parliament.
Topaz is approaching from the southwest corner. Yep. Sel has arced round to approach from the northwest corner, and Hamid is off far to the south.
Yeah, look at you managing that in one sentence when I struggled a lot.
Okay, in which case then, can I ask what's the total distance you've travelled so far, Sel?
They have travelled 360 foot.
Okay, you are, because you're taking a little bit of an arc, I'm going to say you're not quite on the map yet, but you will basically smash onto the map next time.
And I hope everyone is remembering to tick down all of their round-counted spells.
In which case, then, Hamid, you are up.
Hamid takes having hit the corner that he was flying over, Hamid doesn't think, he can only estimate, because he can't see, and he's currently out of message range to keep talking to everyone, but he's estimating that people will be about to land on the tower, so he doesn't want to reveal himself yet. So instead, he's going to fly north 180 foot, which will put him about 220 foot from Big Ben. And while he's doing that, he's just going to be whispering, "Please be okay, please be okay, please be okay, please be okay."
Oh, how not very sneaky.
Now
he's whispering.
Whispering.
Don't know if they've got supersonic hearing.
Okay. At which point, then, I am going to say that it is, because this is accurate, Wild's turn. And Wild, I think, is going to be making contact.
Yep.
Wild is... So Wild is going to place himself at the south end. No, Wild is going to make it to the northwest corner of Big Ben, and is seemingly has 100% of his attention fixed on Guive.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Interesting.
Big illusion time. Big illusion time.
Yeah.
In which case, then... Ooh, yes, I need to do a roll. Can I please get a fortitude save from Skrark with no context?
A fortitude save?
Oof.
Correct.
I don't like that, though, Alex, is the thing. I don't. Oh. I'd really rather you didn't.
Small lizard friend.
Does this happen to be a sleep or paralysis effect? Or a poison or a fear effect? Or a trap effect?
I suspect that Skrark is very afraid, but it is not a fear effect.
Okay, so that is 18. That could have been worse.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Good luck, lizard boy.
And can I get a strength check from Skrark as well?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I think he might be buried in something.
Yeah, that feels like the I'm trapped in a building. Oh, dear.
That's okay. He's small. He can crawl somewhere.
Actually, can I get either, because this is technically accurate, can I get a strength or escape artist check?
You can absolutely have escape artist.
Yes.
I'm happy to give you some escape
artist. Running the figures, it should be escape artist. Yeah. That technically comes under it.
Well, I didn't roll well, but that is still a value of 19.
Okay.
Dragon baby!
In which case, then, Azu, you are up. You are on the battle map where you actually are. Bear in mind that wherever you go, you're going to be hoiking a Zolf along for the ride.
Yep. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what Zolf asked, and I'm going to drop Zolf off at the staircase bit where he said he wanted to be.
So the staircase is on the north side of the tower.
Yes.
And I remind people, this is not accurate. That would be foolish.
Yeah, I've got no idea what Big Ben looks like.
This world's Big Ben has a staircase on the north side of the tower at the top.
A nice, big, sizable one.
I think real world Big Ben just has like a maintenance gantry and a very highly pitched roof.
Exactly. And, this is far more fancy.
And Alex, you said that there was a platform at the top of the dome that looked like a good place to put the Braub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is currently strapped to Zolf's back.
Yeah. But the thing is, Helen, have you used both your moves to get there?
But Topaz can do all this movement while Azu takes
Azu
the
isn't actually doing
that's
it.
What I was the about to
backpack
say
backpack from Zolf.
Yeah.
So you'd have used a double move to get there with Topaz, but you could now hop off and use your own move. But I will point out that because it's sort of glass on all sides, and for the sake of the map, climbing up just the glass to get to the middle platform will be quite difficult. There is a metallic walkway to the east and west side of it,
okay,
which you could walk up and is like walkable. But if you're trying to just walk up the side of the glass, you're asking for trouble.
Okay, hang on. I think I can get onto the walkway, but not to the platform.
Yeah, the other thing is we're invisible, so you probably can't easily take Babbage from me.
Yeah.
Because we can't see
each
other.
Yeah. I'm going to rule that you can't just be like, here it is. Doesn't really work like that.
I think the thing is, Helen, the way I think this is going to work with my movement speeds and my ability to levitate and stuff, you might as well leave it on me.
Okay.
He'll get there at the same time that you will, basically.
You can just land, drop Zolf off, and then take back to the skies. You're probably more useful flying and swinging an axe than on the ground.
In which case, I will... Okay, then I have dropped Zolf off and I'm hanging around.
That's fine. Hamid, from your spot, you can notice that a bunch of the sort of root guardian things are now starting to work their way up the tower. You can see that there's a few inside, like you can just see through the odd window and so on, and you can see that there are a couple trying to make their way up the outside of the tower as well. They are not hoarding, to be clear, although the ground floor is now awash with these things, all looking in all directions, all like clicking and chittering all over one another. They are very much focused on sort of ground level, and just a few are currently climbing up the tower.
Yeah.
Guive, meanwhile.
Do I not get go?
Of course you do. That was a test. Pass the test.
Oh,
well,
I miss
done.
It. I miss you.
You deserve to be in combat. Zolf, it's your turn. Enjoy it.
Okay.
Luxuriate in it.
So I can
cover my errors.
I can dismount as a bonus action, right? Or do I just factor it into my move? Like, I don't know.
I think it's part of a move action, probably.
It's part of your move,
yeah.
I believe, in
my
this
move
system.
Is 40 foot. I step off into air. Go, go, boots, go. I float down.
Yep.
My standard action is I cast Shape Stone.
Yep.
I stone shape using the stone in the stairs to create 1 foot by 1 foot bars, which I then crisscross across the doors.
Like a portcullis.
Yeah, like a portcullis, as much as I possibly can. I can do 21 cubic foot, so I guess I can do, I don't know.
You're fine. So. There's a lot. There's a lot there. I'm not especially worried by that. Also, bear in mind that one of the doors was closed, so you might be able to like work in a wedge or whatever to make use of some of the existing door.
Basically, I do what I did with the gate previously and just like consume the door so that if part of it's still wood, it's all held up by the stone, so it's all, it's all reinforced.
That's absolutely fine. That's fine. Cool. Anything else with your turn?
I've done it. I've used my move action. I've used my standard action.
Understood. In which case, then,
My glaive goes on fire. it's still invisible because I haven't been aggressive.
Yes. At which case, then, the ambient lighting slightly increases, but no one knows why.
Yeah.
Can everyone please give me a stealth check? Ooh, you might get lucky on this.
We're all still applying the invisibility bonus of plus 20.
27.
30.
Remember, you have a reroll on it from the boots if you are wearing those specific boots.
Yes, I'm going to reroll that. I'm definitely going to reroll that.
Yeah, you don't have to be actually on the ground for them to activate, which is fun.
Yep.
Okay, that is 41 now. Thank you for reminding me of that.
I've got 49.
46 for Hammond.
In which case, Guive finishing, like, hovering, and I say hovering implying like static as opposed to the massive thump wing beats that are like scattering insect-sized people all the way back down there and so on, starts surveying the area, and as it does so notices something and then turns the head straight at the tower.
Now, here's a question.
Yes.
Unless they are using preternatural senses and I'm the one who failed my stealth check, I am currently in a divot which will break line of sight between me and Guive.
Interestingly, it's Azu, because of the divot.
Hot damn. Wow.
Well, if Guive doesn't suffer from the invisibility bonus, then all our rolls were 20 less.
And that's exactly... Yeah. I'm at the risk of, like, popping behind the curtain. Yeah, dragons are real good at spotting when people are full of nonsense. They don't like hobbits, and they're really good at spotting when nonsense is happening.
Then fair play.
But interestingly enough, hasn't noticed the halfling. But Guive seems very...
Don't worry, he's noticed... He's about to notice the halfling.
Guive seems to have noticed Azu, basically. I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but seems to have noticed someone at the clock tower. However, I am ruling that Guive is going to have used their turn to do so because it's an active perception check as opposed to a passive one, which uses a standard action. And the movement, they used hovering, doing a quick check, a passive search of the building. So as a result, Sel, you are up. And technically are sort of between Guive and the tower.
But if I recall correctly, quite a long distance from Guive, right?
About 120 feet between you and Guive.
So bombs, unfortunately, really only have a range of 20 foot. While they could hit Guive with their crossbow, it's just... It's like, you know, you want to throw your life away for a good arena. not like a D4.
Worked in The Hobbit.
You know what? You're not wrong. But no.
I'll tell you what, if you were to take 10 turns perceiving Guive for a weak spot, I'd definitely try and give you something.
Yeah, that's what the stalking dagger's about, though, right?
Oh, true. Very true.
Having done a bit of the maths. There is nothing Cell can do of use, so they are going to move another... It's really hard to try and explain, but imagine there's the tower. Grieve is directly north of it. I know that's not quite right. Cell is aiming to be at a kind of triangular point off to the west, so that if they do something big and sparkly and dangerous, it kind of draws the eye away from the tower. But they can't really do it yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, in that case then, Hamid, you are up.
Okay, so Hamid is still about 220 foot south of Big Ben.
Yep.
His single move speed is about 90 foot. Uh-huh. So he's going to fly about 50 foot north and then use the rest of his move to get more height.
Uh-huh.
And then, thinking that he really needs to give both Grieve and the monsters that are starting to swarm the base of the tower something else to think about, he grips off his belt, pulls it into his hand, the runes start to glow, the Rod of Maximize. Now, I'm still bad. Over the body of the Houses of Parliament, and you said there's a few people there that are not technically blue-veined and look almost coordinated in some brain, in some way?
Yeah. They look lieutenant-y, is what they look.
Would you say any of them are sort of clustered quite close to each other?
I'd say there's a bunch of maybe five or so clustered right at a point where the plant meets the houses quite nicely.
Okay, Hamid's invisibility pops into nothingness as a maximised fireball lands right in the middle of them. Fireball has a range of 840 foot, so I'm not really worried about whether I can get them. And it's maximised, so that is 70 fire damage to all those people. They do get a reflex save.
The thing that's interesting here is, technically I should roll for them all differently, but we've done this previously where I roll en masse because it's a bit more swingy. The thing that's interesting is less to do with what happens to those people and a lot more to do with what happens near those people.
Yeah.
So you hurl your fire. I say hurl, it technically it's a little pea that then explodes, right?
Yeah.
You're like, click, boom, boom.
So there's an enormous explosion on the roofs of Parliament. And as it does so, a few things happen simultaneously. First is a huge section of the roof just implodes. It just collapses inwards. It's an old building and that's a very big explosion. Secondly, as it does so, it reveals that the interior of the houses is almost entirely plant matter, but loose plant matter, not one big single thing. Mm-hmm. So it goes kind of, it implodes, but in a kind of spongy way, I guess. In addition to that, the plant, though, the main body, the main bud, is within sort of range of that, takes some damage. At which point, could everyone please give me a will save?
Oh no!
Is this against fear or poison?
It is against fear.
Everybody gets a +4 instead of a +1 due to the hero's feast.
Ooh,
wonderful.
That might tip it over, actually.
Because Cell's will is trash. So,
natural 20.
Nice.
Cell's is 24.
30.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to roll for Skrark as well?
Yes, you do.
Well, yay,
that means he's still alive.
Sign, yeah.
Unless Alex is lying.
Oh no, I'd continue to get you to roll even if he wasn't.
Give me a second, because I'm just trying to find out if I am default immune to fear.
By your level, you're immune to fear and immune to disease, I think. So.
Yeah, at third level, a paladin is immune to fear, magical or otherwise.
There you go, yep.
So I'm
fine. You don't
fine.
Need to roll. You have transcended dice in this particular encounter. And what was Skrark's?
Well, I rolled a natural 20 for Hamid and a 19 for Skrark, so that was a good pair. So Skrark's total, sadly, is only 27.
Okay, cool. And what was Hamid's one more time? Because I think this is all good.
Well, the natural 20 means the total is 36 by my reckoning.
Good. Wow.
So, there is a sudden screaming cry that seems to come from everywhere at once. And then you realise it is coming from everywhere at once, as every single creature that you can see, whether upon a building, whether on the ground, whether blue-veined or not, apart from yourselves, throws their head up in the air and screams for a moment.
Oof.
It is a very loud, very painful sound to hear, and very, very unnerving, and carries with it a magical pressure upon the mind. I'm afraid everyone apart from Cell takes it and handles it.
Takes it does not mean
the
that
indignation.
You're
phrasing there, Alex. Yeah.
Quiet. You're quiet. All
Cell
of you.
Cell gets the wibblies. Cell has mechanical wibblies.
And Cell is now shaken.
Uh-oh.
For...
Oh, don't make me useless in the final battle, Alex.
For four rounds. Now, you're not staggered. What that is you're taking a -2 penalty on attack rolls, saving throws, skill checks, and ability checks. You are not frightened or panicked because you rolled high enough that you're only shaken. So for four rounds, you're taking a -2 on stuff, basically.
That's not good. Yeah.
But this isn't an effect that's going to get worse if not treated, right?
No. This cool. was just a, well, that was weird, because the scream does stop. It doesn't just go on and on and on and on. It's this thing was hurt, and then everyone goes, ah! And in terms of the plant itself, blue light starts sort of shining out from it, as if you had like a light bulb in a vase and then you smashed it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So it's shining out from it. You can already see, though, Hamid, the plant itself is starting to knit itself back together.
Wow.
But it is a very odd sensation to hear an entire city scream at once.
It's fine. I was attracting attention, doing minor damage.
Guive also is screaming at the same point and then turns wholeheartedly to look, somehow, despite the scale and somehow despite the distance, right into Hamid's eyes.
Oh!
Dun, dun, dun.
And I'll end the episode there.
Oh! Cousin Bryn!
I think he might be the bigger dragon, you guys.
I think you may have picked a we'll fight.
This is not a contest of dominance I'm going to win.
Do you know what, Hamid? We'll see about that. You've got backup.
Yeah.
Plus, you've got loads of hit points. It's fine.
That's not how I would characterise it.
You got a few.
I've got some. I've certainly got more than before. Yeah. So, you know, that's nice.
Because you're bigger than
that. Why don't we find out and leave the audience guessing? Yeah. But I'm going to call a buy
extra 132 hit points and he's still on. Oh, gosh, you can't do it.
He's right to be afraid. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Which has a door that appears to have been wedged open.
Hello.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Good.
I just wanted to move the camera and I did a bad job of that.
Oh, no!
Whoa.
I love this.
Little roller coaster
ride. Fight, Lydia, fight! Go for the eyes!
I just wanted to look.
The chickens are
normal.
In the house.
They're in the walls, man. They're in the walls.
Okay, I just wanted you to be able to see my face. But, that's not going to happen.